Hello and welcome to Active Learning Unpacked. I'm James, and joining me as always is Lisa. Today we're diving into one of the most transformative classroom strategies out there, stations, rotations, and learning centers. Lisa, I have to say, walking into a classroom that's buzzing with students working in small groups at different stations is such a contrast to the traditional rows and columns setup, isn't it?
It really is, James. There's this energy and sense of purpose when students are moving between tasks, collaborating, and actually doing the learning themselves. I think that image of a sunlit classroom with students building, sketching, researching, and presenting, all in their own corners, really captures what active learning can look like in practice.
Absolutely. And that's the key theme, active learning. Rather than just sitting and listening, students are researching, testing ideas, explaining their reasoning to peers, and producing tangible products. It shifts the focus from the teacher being the sage on the stage to the students actually engaging with the content.
Right, and that's so important when you want students to really understand and retain information. Plus, stations and rotations aren't just about engagement, they're a powerful way to differentiate. You can tailor the level of challenge, support, and extension based on what each group or even individual students need.
That's a great point. Having multiple stations means you can offer scaffolded support at one, a challenge task at another, or even a teacher-led mini station for those who need a bit more guidance. And you get real-time formative assessment. If a group is struggling with a core concept, you spot it immediately, rather than waiting until after a test.
Exactly. And I love how it mirrors real-world teamwork, too. Students have to communicate, take on different roles, like materials manager or lead experimenter, and manage their time. Those are life skills as much as academic ones.
Yes, and if you explain the why to students before you start, it really boosts their motivation. Let's imagine you're starting a STEM lesson where students design and build a small bridge. You might say, you'll rotate through four stations, because each focuses on a different real skill: research, design, build, and evaluate. Doing these short, focused tasks with your team gives you practice, feedback, and a real product to share. I'll check in to help if you get stuck, and at the end, we'll look at what you've learned together.
That's so clear. It sets expectations and shows students the purpose behind the activity. Now, planning is crucial here. You really need to define your competence goal. What do you want students to be able to do by the end? Use action words like design, test, justify, or calculate. Then decide on the number of stations. 3 to 6 is typical, and group sizes, usually 3 to 4 students per group.
And each station should have a simple, one-page instruction card. I always say, make it student-friendly, include the task, time allowed, materials, and clear success criteria. Plus, you want short assessment checkpoints, like a quick rubric or checklist, so you can see at a glance if students are on track.
Don't forget about transitions. Having a clear routine, maybe a chime or a countdown timer on the wall, helps everything run smoothly. And it's worth rehearsing transitions a few times before you expect them to run like clockwork. It's amazing how a little practice can save so much time and confusion.
Definitely. And assigning roles at each station keeps everyone engaged and prevents that classic problem of one student doing everything while others sit back. You might rotate roles each round, so everyone gets a chance to be materials manager, timekeeper, recorder, and so on.
Noise levels are another thing to plan for. If you post the expected voice level at each station, like whispering during research or a presenting voice during presentations, it helps keep the environment productive but not chaotic.
Safety's a big one, especially for STEM tasks. If you've got glue guns or weights, make sure you've posted hazards and PPE requirements, like goggles. And set clear expectations for how technology, phones, tablets, should be used. Maybe only the recorder uses the tablet to document, so devices don't become a distraction.
That's right. And it's worth mentioning that any new routine needs to be tried a few times before you decide if it's working. I always recommend giving stations at least 4 runs before you tweak or abandon the method. It takes a bit for everyone to get comfortable.
So, let's talk about a practical example, a STEM rotation where students design and build a bridge. Imagine 4 stations, one for researching and understanding constraints, another for sketching and planning, a third for actually building and testing the bridge, and a final station for analyzing results and preparing a short presentation.
That's such a rich learning experience. At the first station, students might use fact sheets and tablets to explore different bridge types and constraints, then record and justify their design choice. Next, at the sketch and plan station, they'd create a detailed drawing, label materials, and maybe estimate the weight. The build and test station is where the fun, and sometimes frustration, really happens.
Exactly. They build using craft sticks and glue, then carefully test to see how much weight the bridge holds. Safety officers ensure goggles are on when needed. The recorder documents everything with photos and a test log. Then, at the final station, students analyze what worked, what failed, and prepare a 90-second presentation and a mini report. It's the full engineering cycle in miniature.
And differentiation is built in. You can provide templates and sentence stems for those who need support and give extension challenges. Like, how can you make the bridge lighter but still strong? For those ready for more, peer tutoring is another great option. Maybe one student becomes the assistant teacher to help others.
It's also flexible in terms of group formation. You can group students heterogeneous, mixing abilities, or homogeneously for targeted support. Sometimes, using fun selectors like birth month or drawing puzzle pieces can be a nice way to mix things up and encourage new partnerships.
Assessment is seamless, too. At each station, there's a checkpoint, maybe a quick photo upload, a checklist, or a short oral report. The teacher roams, gives microfeedback, and stamps the group's rubric. At the end, groups submit their photos, data, reflection, and a short presentation for summative assessment.
And let's not forget the importance of feedback. Using quick microconferences, just a minute or so per group, you can check understanding, correct misconceptions, and push their thinking further. If you spot a widespread misconception, pause the class briefly or pull aside a group for a couple of minutes to reteach.
Closure is really important, too. Each group gives a short summary, what they did, what worked, and what they'd change next time. You can use reflection prompts like 3 things I learned, 2 real-world connections, and 1 question I still have. And of course, document everything. Photograph flip charts, upload summaries, and make learning visible.
Before you start, it helps to have a checklist, clear goals, printed station cards, materials sorted into bins, timer and transition signals ready, assessment rubrics handy, and your grouping plan explained. Safety rules posted, and a plan for extra support if needed.
And don't be afraid to try, adapt, and iterate. Each time you run stations, you'll see what works and what needs tweaking. With clear routines, structured checkpoints, and visible evidence of learning, stations really can transform your classroom.
Brilliantly said, Lisa. That's all for today's episode on stations, rotations, and learning centers. Remember, active learning is all about getting students doing, not just listening. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. If you try out stations in your classroom, don't forget to check out our templates and tips online. Bye for now.